So welcome, everyone. I think we should simply begin. I think Ted has some warm-ups here for us. So let me just turn the proceedings over to Ted.
I really don't tell jokes very well. All I have are a few segues from Dave Barry that I could perhaps read at various times.
Oh, okay.
So
you don't have any contributions?
Dad, I think you should start with your dad.
Well, I just thought maybe the hat was enough.
Okay. I think that's true. Maybe I should start with an Indiana joke then. Okay. I'm from Indiana. Oh, and we that's right, on and on to the next joke. we tell Dan Quayle jokes there, kind of a folk hero of sorts.
Hero?
Folk
legend.
Legend. Yeah.
Target.
So St. Peter is at the pearly gates, and he's admitting folks to heaven. And first person that comes up is Pablo Picasso. And he arrives and says to St. Peter, I'm Pablo Picasso, and I'd like to get into heaven. St. Peter says, Pablo Picasso, well, of course you're welcome in heaven, but I'm afraid I'm going to need some proof that you really are Pablo Picasso. So Picasso says, can you hand me a sketchbook? And hands him a sketchbook, draws a kind of a charcoal sketch. St. Peter takes one look at it and says, well, you are Pablo Picasso. Welcome to heaven. So about 5 minutes later, Martin Luther King arrives. And St. Peter says, and who might you be? And he says, well, I'm Martin Luther King, and I'd like to get into heaven. And St. Peter says, well, of course, you're welcome in heaven. But he says, I'm going to need some proof that you're really Martin Luther King. So Martin Luther King proceeds to deliver a great sermon. And St. Peter, right in the middle of it, says, yeah, you're definitely Martin Luther King. Of course, you're welcome into heaven. So next person to arrive is Dan Quayle. And St. Peter says, who are you? He says, well, I'm Dan Quayle. St. Peter says, well, you're welcome to heaven, but I'm afraid I'm going to need some proof that you're actually Dan Quayle. Well, I don't know what to offer as proof. St. Peter says, well, Pablo Picasso was just here. He drew a charcoal sketch. Martin Luther King was just here. He gave a great sermon. Dan Quayle says, well, I'd never heard of Pablo Picasso or Martin Luther King. St. Peter says, you're in.
I got the joke
to follow that one. It wasn't the one I planned, but it's still with St. Peter. And it seems that George... it seemed that George Bush had died and gone to heaven. And of course, St. Peter greeted him and said, welcome, we're glad to have you here. And one of the things we do is we try to make people feel at home right away, he says. So is there anyone up here you'd really like to talk to? And George says, yeah, I'd really like to talk to Moses. St. Peter looks a little taken aback. Moses? He says, yeah, I really always want to talk to Moses. St. Peter says, okay, you just wait here, and I'll go see if I can find him. Well, it didn't. Moses is well known in heaven, so it didn't take St. Peter too many inquiries and wandering around. He finally found Moses, and he says, Moses, he says, we have a new guest in heaven here, and he'd like to talk to you. And Moses said, well, who is it? He says, it's George Bush. Moses says, no way, never. I won't touch him. I won't get near him. I won't talk to him. St. Peter's been taken back. He says, well, that's a bit strong. What's the problem? He says, last time I talked to Bush, I got 40 years.
Jump right in. Anybody else? Wes, maybe one from Wes.
Well, I was just looking here about what happened when why the Norwegian ice factory had to close. They lost the recipe. And then there was one about the three ministers who went up to heaven. However, the Lord did it, a taxi driver, St. Peter did it, a taxi driver first. And the three ministers said, why did you, how come you admitted the taxi driver above us when we did all this good work on heaven, I mean on earth? And St. Peter answered, said, he scared the hell out of more people than all three of you put
Sounds like a rolling bus driver.
Well, who invented the limbo? The Norwegian tried to sneak under a paid toilet door. Why can't they eat M&M's here in Washington? Because they're too hard to peel.
I got one. What do you get when you cross lutefisk and LSD? A trip to Ballard. Ballard is a Scandinavian community with a lot of with a lot of the Scandinavian people living in that region, and they have a museum, and a lot of people eat lutefisk, and so this was just an ethnic joke that came out about LSD and
Ballard's why she had
a trip. See, a trip to Ballard.
It could be considered a bad trip.
Next.
Ole and Lars went fishing one day and had extremely good luck. Within about an hour, they caught their limit. And Ole says, Lars, he says, we had such good luck here. He says, we've got to figure out a way to mark the spot. And Lars says, well, yeah, Ole. He says, why don't I think we could do that? He says, let's just put an X in the bottom of the boat. No, he says, Lars, he says, don't be foolish. He says, what if you don't get the boat next time? One cold winter day, Ole went to church, a lot of snow, and turned out Ole was the only worshiper there. But that didn't deter the Lutheran pastor. He did the entire service, the liturgy, four hymns, and a 25-minute sermon, and passed the offering plate. And when he got done, he walked back to shake the parishioner's hand, and Ole got back there, and the pastor said, Ole, what did you think of the service? And Ole said, well, he said it was okay, but you know, he says, when I go out to feed the cows, he says, with a load of hay, if only one cow comes, he says, I don't dump the whole load on her.
Maybe a little segue here from Dave Barry. Dave Barry's a humorist. He writes for the Miami Herald, I believe. He appears in a lot of Sunday newspapers. He's wrote a book called History of the United States. This is the chapter 9, Barging Westward. The first major president to be elected after the War of 1812 was President Monroe Doctrine, who became famous by developing the policy for which he is named. This policy, which is still in effect today, states that, one, other nations are not allowed to mess around with the internal affairs of nations in this hemisphere. Two, but we are. Three, ha ha ha. President Doctrine also purchased Florida from Spain for $5 million. Unfortunately, like many first-time buyers of vast New World territories, he failed to inspect the property first. By this time, he found out that Florida mostly consisted of swamps infested with armor-piercing mosquitoes the size of Volvo station wagons. Spain had already deposited the check. In 1816, a political party called the Federalists nominated for president a man named Rufus King, then ceased to exist. year of 1819 saw the occurrence of the aptly named Panic of 1819, which was caused when the growing nation woke up in the middle of the night thinking that it had to turn paper due. Fortunately, this turned out to be just a dream, and things remained fairly calm until 1825, which saw the election of yet another person named John Adams, who was backed by the party to elect only presidents named John Adams. That's just a short segue from Dave Barry.
That gets us into political jokes. Do we know any political jokes? You heard Bush joke, Quail joke.
Can I go back to another Evan joke?
Another Evan joke.
Yeah, it seemed that it was going to be a real busy intake day, kind of like, you know, Saturday at Holden coming. And so, of course, the registrar, St. Peter, was really kind of in a tizzy and frustrated and so forth, because they had all these people coming in. And so the director, God, said, well, you know, don't get too excited about it. I'll come down to the front desk there with you, and I'll help out. With us having two lines, we'll probably get through it. So, sure enough, St. Peter's one end, God's at the other end. They got their two lines, and God seems to draw one of the people in his line was this little 10-year-old boy. And so God leans over and looks at him and says, well, it looks pretty good. Looks like you'll get in. But he says, I hate to tell you, but we have this little short exam of three questions, and you need to answer those in order to get in. Okay, the first question is, it's kind of tough. How many seconds are there in a year? Oh boy, he comes back with 12. God says, 12? Well, I don't know. He says, how did you get that? January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd. Okay, God says, we'll let that one go. We'll go to the second question. How many days in the week begin with T? Two. Wonderful. What are they? Today and tomorrow. God shook his head, but he says, okay. He says, now the third question is really the critical one. You got to get that one. He says, what's the name of my son? Now remember, I'm God. What's the name of my son? Think. Little boy says, Andy. God stops. He says, well, I don't know. And now I'm God, you know. What's the name of my son? He says, Andy. He says, well, how did you learn that? Where did you get that? He says, from the song we sang in Sunday school. What song was that? Oh, it's I Come to the Garden Alone, Andy Walks With Me, Andy Talks With Me, and he tells me I'm his own.
Same little boy in Sunday school class, and the teacher is asking class if they know where God lives, and this little boy says, yes, I know where he lives. He lives in our bathroom. And the Sunday school teacher says, well, how do you know that? He said, well, every Sunday morning, he said, just before we're ready to go to church, my dad goes up to the bathroom door and says, good God, are you still in there?
There was a football joke going around last fall in the Midwest, sort of the Minnesota, Iowa. There are a lot of those jokes going back and forth. And anyhow, University of Minnesota was playing down at Iowa City a football game, and there's this little town in southern Minnesota that's comprised of a population mostly Swedes and Norwegians, and they decided that, you know, it might be good to go down and see the game down at Iowa City. And there was quite a bit of interest in this deal, and so didn't know how to do it, but somebody got the bright idea. They ought to rent one of these double-decker buses, see? And they all go down together. Well, okay, well, I'm good. So they got ready to go down to the game, and they're heading down from southern Minnesota down across there, and it turned out that they flipped a coin to see who would sit down and who would be up. And the Norwegians got down below, and the Swedes were up above. And Norwegians, being a little more joyful and happy, they had a little aquavit around, and so they were really living it up and having a lot of fun. And they set out for the game, and as they were traveling, the Norwegian said, gee, those Swedes upstairs are awfully quiet. I better go up there and see what's going on. They're so quiet. We're having all kinds of fun down here. And so one of the Norwegians went up there, and here the Swedes were sitting, and they were just holding on to the sides of their chair, real serious, like Swedes, to be honest, real serious. And the Norwegian says, "For God's sake," he said, "we're going to a ball game. There's a lot, we're having a good time." He says, "Can't we have some fun on this trip? And why are you so serious?" And the Swede says, "You'd be serious too if you didn't have a driver."
Can we tell a Pope joke?
Oh yeah.
The last time the Pope visited this country, he wanted to make sure he had a Polish limo driver. And so he arrived in New York City, and the limo pulled up, and the Pope walked up to the front, and the electric window came down, and he said, "Sir," and he said, Pope said, "Do you mind if I drive? I don't get to do very much. People do things for me. Do you mind if I drive?" And the driver said, "You're the Pope." And he gets out, and the Pope gets in the driver's seat, walks in the back, closes the door, he climbs in, closes the door, and they drive off. About 20 blocks down the road, motorcycle policeman pulls him over, and he walks to the front, and the window comes down, and he's ready to write him a ticket. He looks in, and he walks back to his motorcycle, and he calls in, "Sarge, what do I do when I stop an important person?" The sergeant says, "You ticket anybody, everybody." He said, "Sarge, this is an important person." He says, "Well, is he more important than the mayor?" And he said, "Yes." "Well, is he the governor?" No, more important than the governor." "Is this the president of the United States?" "No, more important than the president of the United States." He said, "Well, who is it?" He says, "I don't know, but he's got the Pope for a chauffeur."
The Swedes invented the toilet. The Norwegians made it better by putting a hole in it.
Pope and an attorney both died and went to heaven, and they get to the pearly gates, and the Pope is first in line, and St. Peter says, "Welcome," he says, "and your residence is just down here to the left a little bit," and the Pope looks down, here's this little, just a small little cottage, and as he's beginning to walk down, he hears St. Peter say to the attorney, "Your residence is over here," and the Pope looks back, and it's a huge mansion, big Cadillac out in the front. Pope goes back and says, "Say, St. Peter," he said, "I don't quite get this. I'm the Pope, and I get this small little shanty, and this fellow here gets this big, lavish mansion. What's the deal?" And St. Peter said, "Well, we've had quite a few popes up here, but this is the first attorney we've ever had."
Okay, just before that, St. Peter was at the guard gate to heaven, and would, looking up and down the line, trying to make sure that nobody was sneaking in without coming in through the main gate. And he saw something going down there, and there was that old sneaky Satan coming, sneaking up to the fence line way down the road there. And so St. Peter kept an eye on him, and Satan got there, and Satan started moving the fence line a little farther in there to get a little more territory, you know. And St. Peter says, gets mad, and he says, "You stop that! You stop that!" Satan just sits there and chuckles and keeps moving the fence line, and finally St. Peter gives him the ultimatum, and he says, "You stop that, or I'll sue you." And Satan just keeps laughing, moving. He says, "Go ahead, where do you think you'll find a good lawyer?"
last winter in Minnesota, it was so cold, the lawyers had their hands in their own pockets.
You know why they bury lawyers 12 feet under? Because deep down they're really good.
One day the local priest and the Jewish rabbi and the Lutheran pastor were having a discussion, and they got around to talking about how they divided up their Sunday offerings. And the priest said, "Well," he said, "I just draw a line down the middle of the floor, and I throw the money up in the air, and he said, what lands on the left side, I give to God, and what lands on the right, I keep for myself." And the rabbi said, I draw a circle in the middle of the floor. I said, and I throw the money up in the air, and if it lands in the circle, I give it to God, and if it lands outside the circle, I keep it myself. And Lutheran pastor says, I throw the money up in the air, and I say, God, you better grab what you can, because what hits the floor is mine.
Back to the lawyer jokes. A lawyer passed away, died, and so the tombstone very prominent and was put, here lies a lawyer, a good and honest man. So there was two people walking by and they looked at that tombstone and they said, I wonder why they buried two bodies there.
At the coroner's inquest examining why and how the accident happened, and the witness said, well, the lawyer was lying on his back in the middle of the street and the car ran over him. And the attorney stood up quickly and says, that is not true. I know for a fact that an attorney must be on one side or the other.
Oh, see, I got one, I guess. It's probably the only joke I could ever remember my whole life. There was a group of, there was a Swede and a Norwegian and a German and a French person, and they were going to set a record for hot air balloon height. So they chose a really nice day, and they packed up all their gear and went out, and the temperature was right, and they went. It went up and up and up and up and up, and then it seemed to sort of like level off. They weren't going any further, but they were a long ways from their new record. So they threw out everything they had, their food and their wine, their bread and cheese, all that stuff. They dumped it out. And so they went up a little bit further and wasn't quite far enough. So they started looking around and everybody was, well, what are we going to do about this? So all of a sudden the Frenchman jumped up and said, Vive la France! And he jumped out. And so the balloon went up a little further, and but still wasn't good enough. So they started looking around at each other again, and then the German stood up and said, Deutschland über alles! And he hopped out, and they went up a little further and a little further and a little further, and still wasn't far enough. And so the Swede and the Norwegian were the only two left, and they were looking at one another. And finally the Norwegian stood up and said, Alt for Norge! He took the Swede and threw him out.
Once there was a pink lady. And she lived in a big pink house. And one day she was driving home from work in her pink car, and she pulled into her pink driveway. She went through her pink front door, up the pink stairs to her pink bedroom. Inside her pink bedroom, she got ready for bed, and she slipped in between her pink sheets. Bang, 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 bang. It was the door. The pink lady jumped out of bed, pulled on her pink robe, and ran downstairs. She opened the big pink front door, and outside stood a blue man. Well, whatever do you want? She asked the blue man. Well, said the blue man, my car broke down about a block from here, and your house it was the nicest one on the block, so I decided that maybe you'd let me stay the night here. Well, she thought to herself, I guess I could. So she let the blue man in. They walked up a pink stairwell and came to a blue door, and they opened the blue door, and inside was a blue room. The blue man went inside, and we assumed that he fell asleep, and the pink lady went back to her room and took off her robe and went to bed. Bang, 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 bang. It was the door again. The pink lady jumped out of bed. She pulled on her pink robe, walked through her pink house to the big pink front door. And there stood a green man. Whatever can you be here for at this time of night? She asked the green man. Well, he said, my car broke down about a block from here, and yours was the nicest house around, so I was wondering if you would let me stay the night. Well, thought the pink lady, I let the blue man, so I guess I can let the green man. Come on in, she said. So she closed the big pink front door. They walked through the pink living room, up the pink stairs, down a pink hall, till they got to a green door. She opened the green door, and inside was a green room. The green man on the side, and we assumed that he fell asleep. And the pink lady went back to her pink bedroom. She took off her pink robe, and she slipped into her pink bed. Bang, 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 bang. Close the door! So the pink lady jumped out of bed. She put on her pink robe. She ran through her pink house to the big pink front door. She opened the door, and outside stood a yellow man. Whatever could you want? I've been up 2 times already. Well, said the yellow man, my car broke down about a block from here. And I was wondering if you could possibly let me stay the night. Well, she thought, I let the green man and the blue man. I might as well let the yellow man. Okay, she said, come on in. She shut the pink front door, and they walked through her pink house till they reached a yellow door. She opened the yellow door, and inside was a yellow room. The yellow man went into the room, and we assumed that he fell asleep. Then the pink lady walked back through her pink hallway to her pink bedroom. She took off her pink robe and slipped in the sheets. Bring! It was the alarm clock. It was morning. The pink lady was exhausted, but she got out of bed anyway. She walked to her pink bathroom, put on her pink dress and her pink pantyhose and pink shoes and pink makeup. She walked through her pink bedroom, down the pink hall, down the pink stairs, through her pink living room to the pink kitchen. At her pink kitchen table sat the green man, the blue man, and the yellow man. Well, said the pink lady, I guess I should offer you breakfast since you're all here. Blue man, what would you like for breakfast? Well, he said, I think I'll have some Kellogg's cornflakes. All right, said the pink lady, we have that. And what would you like, green man? Well, said the green man, I think I'll have some Rice Krispies. All right, said the pink lady, I have that too. And then she asked the yellow man, yellow man, what would you like for breakfast? Well, said the yellow man, I think I'll also have some Kellogg's cornflakes. So she got them and had breakfast. Would you like to know what the moral of the story is?
Yeah, sure.
2 out of 3 people choose Kellogg's cornflakes.
Can anyone stop that?
I gotta be up here to know this one. This is about an Irishman and a Norwegian. And they met, the North Sea is located kind of between Ireland and Norway. So they went out sailing together in the North Sea, and a big storm came up and blew and so forth. And they had to throw overboard most of their provisions that hadn't already been blown overboard. And, well, they were out there a couple of days afterwards, and there wasn't anything to eat, and they were getting pretty hungry. And finally, they were down to one sausage, and so they sat down there and they talked about it, and they finally agreed that what they do is they both get a hold of that sausage on each end, and they'd have a tug of war, and whoever won the tug of war get the sausage. So they get down there, and the Irishman, he clamps down. And the Norwegian clamps down the Irishman and says, well, are you ready?
Yeah!
Well, back up in heaven, St. Peter was welcoming people into heaven, and suddenly, and Jesus walked up and was kind of watching the goings-on, and suddenly St. Peter leaned over to Jesus and said, could you take over for a little bit? He says, I really have to go to the bathroom, and I can't check, I just can't do it properly. Right now, I'm thinking about going to the bathroom. So Jesus said, sure, I'll be glad to. You know, I've been watching you, and I'm pretty sure I know what to do with here. So St. Peter went off, and Jesus was welcoming people. Hello, how are you? Welcome to heaven. Glad you're here. And this one very old man came kind of slowly walking up. He had sort of white hair, and Jesus says, well, welcome to heaven. He says, and what is your name? And And the old man said, well, he said, on earth they called me Joe. And Jesus said, oh, really? And he said, yes. And Jesus says, well, he said, what did you do while you were on earth? And he said, well, he said, I worked with wood while I was on earth. And Jesus kind of sort of perks up and said, oh, really? And he said, yes, he said, but I had rather a sad life. He said, I lost my son and he was very special. And Jesus said, oh, really? He said, well, what was so special about your son? And the old man said, well, he said, he had holes in his hands and his feet. And Jesus' eyes got real big, and he leans forward, and he said, Dad! And the old man looks at him and says, Pinocchio!
The Lufthansa flight is just leaving New York City, and Captain Schmidt comes on and he tells the people, he says, now we are flying to Frankfurt, and we come to Frankfurt at 9 o'clock in the morning, and welcome to have a good meal and everything. He says, it will be a good flight. And so they had the normal meal and so on and forth, and flying along, and 3-4 hours, and he says, yeah, this is Captain Schmidt talking, he says, and he says, we seem to be going fine, and he says, I hope you all enjoy the movie now and during the night, and he said, we will come to Frankfurt, we come just a little bit later in the morning at 9:01, but he says, it's no problem. So anyhow, some more time went by, and then he says, yeah, this is Captain Schmidt coming out, about midnight. About midnight, he said, yeah, this is Captain Schmidt. He says, we seem to have a little problem. He says, but don't worry. He says, von Motor is having some problem, but don't worry. He says, we come to Frankfurt just a little bit later, about 9:30 in the morning, and all you can make all the other flights. So it gets to be 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody snoozing away. He says, yeah, sorry to wake you up. He says, this is Captain Schmidt. He says, but we seem to have some problem with the second motor, and we must make some other arrangements for you people when you come to Frankfurt in the morning. But he says, don't worry. He says, we make all these fine arrangements. We come just at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we are making all these arrangements for the flights for all you fine folks. Well, anyhow, it goes on a couple more miles. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, yeah, this is Captain Schmidt talking. He says, we have problems with another motor, and we must land in the ocean. But, he says, first, he says, all you people that can swim, I want you to go on the right-hand side of the plane. And all of you that cannot swim, go on the left-hand side of the plane, because we must land in the ocean. And he says, when we land in the ocean on the right-hand side of the plane, you will notice that there's an island. You can come from the right-hand side of the plane and swim to this island, and then we will have arrangements made so that you can be picked up and go, and you will come to Frankfurt by noon tomorrow morning and make your connections. And he says, and from all of you that on the left-hand side of the plane, he says, thank you for flying Lufthansa.
There was another flight that had it was a Norwegian Airlines, and they were going to fly to Europe, and about partway into the flight, the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, he says, I got some bad news and I got some good news, he says. The bad news is, we are lost, he says, but the good news is, he says, we're making darn good time.
You know, Archbishop Hunthausen is here to let the call the Pope with an urgent message. And he got connected through Rome, and he got the Pope there, and he said, I have two messages for you. One is good, one is not so good. Now the Pope said, give me the good news first. He said, Holy Father, Christ has come again. Hallelujah, says the Pope. That's beautiful. What's the bad news? He's in Utah.
That reminds me, when I was a kid, there was a lot of jokes that were called, they were about morons. I don't know if any of you grew up during that area. But as a kid, I would misdo that. I would say, instead of saying the moron, I would say the Mormons. And my poor mother was several times extremely worried about what was going to happen. Anyway, we had some Mormon neighbors, and they didn't appreciate my moron jokes.
There was a man driving down the road, and he saw a sign that said Sisters of Mary Bravo, so he thought he'd stop and investigate. He went in, and the nun sitting behind the desk said, may I serve you? And he said, yes, you can. After the gentleman had been served, the nun says, go down the hall, first door on the right. So he did. He went down the hall, first door on the right, went out. He went through the door and shut it. When he looked back at the door, it said, you have been screwed by the Sisters of
It's 11 o'clock in the U.S. Do you know where your children are? It's 11 o'clock in Russia. Do you know where your husband is? It's 11 o'clock in Poland. Do you know what time it is?
The National Library in Poland burned the other day. And it was quite a catastrophe because both books were destroyed. And one of them hadn't even been colored in yet.
Well, there were three young novice nuns who, before taking their final vows, had second thoughts about whether or not they wanted to stay in the sisterhood. So, and actually, they finally decided they wouldn't stay in the sisterhood. And so they went into, before they could exit the convent, they had to have an exit audience interview, or what do you want to call it, with the Mother Superior. And so the first one came in, and they started chatting, and the Reverend Mother asked her what her plans were. She said, oh, I've just decided I wanted to leave the sisterhood, but I'm going to continue my studies in nursing. I'm going to be a nurse. Oh, very good, sister, bless you, and send her on her way. And the next one came in, and they had their discussion, and again, the Reverend Mother wanted to know why she was leaving. And she said, I've decided that I really think that I want to be a mother and have children, and so I want to go out and back into the normal lifestyle. She gave her the blessing and sent her on her way. And then the third one came in, and they had the same kind of discussion, and the Reverend Mother said, and what have you decided that you're going to do? And she said, well, I've decided I'm going to become a prostitute. And the Reverend Mother stopped and sort of, these Reverend Mothers tend to be kind of old, so she cleaned out her ears a little bit, and she said, Now, what did you say you wanted to be, my daughter? And she said, I decided I'm going to be a prostitute. She says, oh, thank God, I thought you said a Protestant.
Elizabeth Bettenhausen was getting on the bus today, and I explained how much we were going to miss her, particularly at the forum this evening. Did she have anything she'd want to leave us with? And she said that she did have a joke she asked me to tell, though she asked me to report that she herself had heard this joke while up here at Holden from one of the people who were here from Elder Hostel. And the joke is as follows. It's about three sisters who are all in their 80s who have been living with one another, together with one another for years and years and years. And all three of them are somewhat worried because their memory seems to be going, though none of the three of them want really to acknowledge this to themselves. And they're sitting around the table. And the one says, excuse me for just a minute, I want to go upstairs and get a book and show the two of you. So they say, fine. And she goes up there and hasn't returned. So the second sister is kind of worried and says, well, I'll go up and check on her. And she goes upstairs and gets about halfway up and turns to the one remaining at the table and says, now, you know, I can't remember, am I halfway upstairs or have I already been up and I'm halfway down? And the one at the table says, well, you're halfway upstairs. Oh, okay, so she goes on up. The one remaining at the table says, boy, I'll tell you, glad my memory hasn't gone like theirs has, knock on wood. She says, now is that the front door or the
bar, and they were both really drunk, and they kept bragging to each other about wondrous things they'd done in their lives, and they were totally insane. Finally, one of the men says, see that building up there? I can jump off, and the wind will carry me back up. The other guy goes, no. I go, no, really. Goes, okay, let's go. The guy goes, okay, fine. So they go to the top of the building, and the one jumps off, and sure enough, the wind carries him back up. The guy goes, wow! How'd you do that? Wait, do it again. This guy jumps off and the wind carries him back up. The other guy goes, wow, that's really amazing. I'm gonna try that. So he jumps off and keeps going and he kind of dies. And so the other one goes back down, goes back to the bar and sitting down, bartender, question. Shouldn't be such a jerk when you're drunk, Superman.
Okay, Mark, say knock knock.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? It's really off the wall humor, sorry. just trying to maybe get on a different tangent.
Knock, knock.
At a recent medical convention in Minneapolis, three psychiatrists left the auditorium, and as they were walking through the hotel lobby, there were a lot of these stands set up selling data processing, selling books, and so on. One of the booths was travel agency with a sign that said, round trip Hawaii, 14 days, $99. But being psychiatrists, they realized from Minneapolis, airfare alone was $600. But on the way back from lunch, they got talking and what good work they were doing for the world and so on, how important they were as psychiatrists. make a long story a little shorter, all three of them signed up for Hawaii 14 days, $99. Alakazam, they end up, the three of them, in a rowboat, rowing their way to Hawaii. Well, the first psychiatrist turns to the other two guys and he says, you know, this is not a good deal. He said, it's going to take us 7 days to get to Hawaii, and it's going to take us 7 days to get back from Hawaii. And he said, we're just not going to have any time in the island. And the second psychiatrist, he was an optimist, obviously. He says, no, no, he said, you know, it'll take us 7 days to get there, but they'll fly us back. Boy, for $99, you have to admit, that's a heck of a good deal. You know, 7 days in Hawaii we get for 99, that's a heck of a good deal. And the first one is, you know, he says, no, I really don't think so. He says, I doubt it. And so they have this give and take. Yes, they will, no, they won't fly us back and that. So finally they turned to the third psychiatrist in the back of the boat and they said, well, what do you think? Do you think they'll fly us back or not? And he just kept rowing and he didn't look up or anything. He said, well, they didn't last year.
I think maybe you ain't throwing the dog high enough.
You know, there was a pastor in a good, old-fashioned, orthodox, conservative church, and he had a sermon. He was telling the congregation that if you are not careful, you will go to hell, and in hell you will grind your teeth in agony. So the sermon is over, worship is over, coffee and cookies are over. Somebody walks up to the pastor and says, I have one problem with this. If I would die and I have lost all my teeth before I die, what can I grind with? And the pastor said, don't you worry, the teeth will be provided.
A Jew, a Hindu, and a lawyer were in a car, broke down in the countryside, and it was late at night, and went to the farmhouse, and asked the farmer if they could stay there, and he says, yes, but I don't have any room in the house for a big family, they'll have to stay in the barn. So they all bedded down in the barn. About midnight, there was a knock on the door, and the farmer went down, and it was the Hindu, and he said, you know, you have cows in the barn, and, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I got a religious thing, I got a problem with that. He said, okay, well, you know, we'll make up the couch for you, so he gets him on the couch. So he goes back to bed. An hour later, there's another knock. He comes down, and it's the Jew, and he says, you know, you've got pigs out there, and, yeah, I really hate to put you out, but I'm just not comfortable with it. And so he says, okay, well, we'll put you, you know, we'll roll out a sleeping bag for you. Takes care of him. So the farmer goes back to bed. An hour later, there's a knock on the door. He comes down, it's the cow and the pig. This guy goes to hell and is greeted by the devil, and the devil takes him around showing him the various places of torture. And they get to all these horrible sights, and this guy's just trembling. And they finally get to this one area, and there's this lawyer making love to this beautiful woman. And this guy, who's kind of a modest sinner, said to the devil, you know, he says, you showed me all this torture I'm going to go through for all eternity for these, you know, piddly things I've done. And here's this lawyer making love to this beautiful woman. What gives? The devil said, who are you to decide that woman's punishment?
Well, Sven and Ole, they met in town during the late afternoon, and Ole was all excited, and Sven says, what are you all excited about? Ole says, well, tonight I'm going to take Lena out, and we're going to go out into the far countryside, and this is going to be the night tonight, says this is going to be the night. So, and Sven encouraged him, and he says, I wish you luck there. And so the evening comes, and we assume that Ole and Lena have gone for their drive out in the country to park someplace, and it's kind of a nice evening, summer evening there. So Sven thinks, well, maybe I go for a walk. So he starts kind of walking out on the edge of town, down the country road, and he looks down there, and who should he see coming walking towards him but Ole? He says, Ole, what are you doing out walking? I thought you were going out tonight with Lena. He says, yep, I did. Weren't you going for a drive? Yep, we went for a drive on the country. Well, did you stop? He says, yep. Well, he says, what happened? He says, well, I told her to put out or get out. Well, he says, and I forgot it was her car.
Have we got time for three more? So if you've been saving up your best one here.
Three pastors got new cars, three preachers. The Lutheran preacher, he was out there. This guy's walking down the street. And he says, what are you doing? He's out there with a cedar branch and he's sprinkling water on it. He says, well, I'm preparing this car for the Lord's work. Oh, I did. So he goes on down the street and he comes to the Baptist minister's place. And he's out there and he's all of a sudden he gets in the car and he puts it in reverse and he backs it right into this swimming pool. He says, I'm preparing this car for the Lord's work. So he goes on down the road a little farther and the rabbi is out there. He's got a hacksaw and he's sawing about that much off the tailpipe.
Two more.
Okay, well, this is fine. No. Okay, it's St. Peter, and he's up in heaven, and he's taking this guy on a tour, and they're going along the hallway, and there are branches up the hallway, and they come to one branch, and the guy looks down there and says, there's a lot of noise coming from down there. Who's down there? And St. Peter says, those are the Baptists. They're just worshiping in their own way. And then they go down a little farther, and he hears all these Hail Marys and things like that. And he's, well, who's down that way? Those are the Catholics. They're just worshiping in their own way. And they walk down a little farther, and there aren't any branches for a long time, and they get down towards the end, and it's very quiet down this one branch. And he looks at St. Peter and says, well, who's down there? And Peter said, shh, those are the Lutherans. They think they're the only ones here.
One more? Well, I'll tell one more. Trying to tie together, I feel, convener of the forum, I try to tie together the themes for the week. Talked a lot about sexuality.
I was saying that'd be a sex joke.
That's right. Talked a lot about sexuality and other related issues, and talked tonight about Sven and Ole and people from Minnesota and Iowa, and so I'll try to thematize this here. There's a guy from Iowa, and he goes to his doctor and says, I've got big problems here. Had 9 children, as you know, we have, and 10th one on the way. And I just have to do something about it. We just can't afford any more children. And the doctor says, well, I think you're going to have a vasectomy. Guy says, well, Doc, I just can't afford that. Just can't afford any of that surgical stuff for me or my wife. And doctor says, well, I'll tell you, there's a specialist up in Minnesota. You might want to go see him. I think he may have the answer for you. So the Iowa goes up to Minnesota, sees a specialist, and explains the whole thing to him. Specialist in Minnesota says, well, I'll tell you, that is a sad story. No money, all these children. Tell you what you do. This won't cost you much. It's very simple. All you need is a newspaper and a cherry bomb. Go back home, find a quiet moment, go down to the basement. I want you to roll up this newspaper. I want you to put it up here against your left ear. I want you to light the cherry bomb, put it in the newspaper, count to 10. That'll take care of it. Okay, the guy from Iowa goes back to Iowa. This just don't seem right to me. People in Minnesota, I just don't believe it. Cherry bomb, newspaper, let me see if I can remember. I think I got this straight. All right. So he's quite apprehensive, but after a couple of nights, he says, you know, what choice do I have? So he waits until all the 9 children and the wife are in bed. He goes down the basement, newspaper, cherry bomb, competent. All right, so he rolls his newspaper up. Kind of stares at it, does a small prayer, puts it up against his left ear, lights the cherry bomb, puts it in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.